Welcome to the podcast for the weekend of July 15, 2022. This day we pray for the young people of our nation and the generations to come, that they may grow up knowing Jesus and the life that is to be had in him. Our first reading is from Genesis chapter 18. And the Lord appeared to him by the oaks of Mamre as he sat at the door of his tent in the heat of the day. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing in front of him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth and said, O Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought, and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree while I bring a morsel of bread, that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant. So they said, Do as you have said. And Abraham went quickly into the tent to Sarah and said, Quick, three seahs of fine flour, knead it and make cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to a young man who prepared it quickly. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, Where is Sarah your wife? And he said, She is in the tent. The Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah your wife shall have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door behind him. Our second reading is from Colossians chapter 1. And you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. Now, I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. In our gospel reading this week is from Luke chapter 10. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. And the reading for our discussion is a continuation of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6. Jesus says, Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, Go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet, I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Who is the most intriguing speaker that you have ever heard? Is there someone for whom you just hung on their every word? Matthew chapter 6 is a continuation of the Sermon on the Mount. Every saying, every thought is there for a reason. We live in a world of tyranny, of busybodies, people wanting to control and lord it over us in one way or another. This isn't at all new to our time. It was absolutely true in Jesus' time. It was true in the few thousand years before Jesus. We've talked about it on this podcast with the fall of Israel into slavery. It was a gradual process, a hemming in of the cattle, one fence at a time until Pharaoh was in full control. including over their food supply and even over their minds. So much so that the Israelites, even while they were free, were longing for the bread and the meat pots back in Egypt when they could eat meat to the full when they were slaves. To them, slavery was good enough, as long as their bellies were full. There are four important words on our currency and on the seal of Congress. In God, we trust. We who believe in Jesus know who God is. He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is the nature of the Trinity. Jesus is Lord. When Adam and Eve fell, they had this idea that they could be their own gods, that they could rule over themselves. This is the history of all the mystery religions and cults that continue even to today. These religions are all about people being their own gods, or worse, over other people. The proud, those lacking in all humility, the uber narcissistic, even today, see themselves as gods over the masses, who they see as cattle. To those of us who only want to mind our own business in life, it is crazy to us to think there are people who want to have such control. But they are real. The full fruition of this idea are people who were like Pharaoh and Caesar back in those times, who really did see themselves as gods. Think of those words that you may have spoken in the Pledge of Allegiance in a classroom years ago. One nation under God. To live under the true God is very different from living under a tyrant like Pharaoh or Caesar. Even at times, the pharaohs and Caesars and kings of the world could be good rulers who the people sometimes appreciated for the peace, prosperity, and order that they brought to society. At other times in history, different ones ruled with a heavy hand. What does it look like when God is really the one who is over us? He is over us even now, always. The sun doesn't shine, nor does it rain, nor do the green things grow without God's blessing. Nor do we have breath without God's blessing. If it was just God that was over us, it would be like that peaceful, idyllic time in the Garden of Eden. He would be our God. We would be his people. The world would be peaceful. There would be plenty. There would be no death. But we live in a fallen world. Today, there are folks who worry tremendously about overpopulation and the climate. Regarding climate, certain folks today are worried about increasing CO2 and rising temperatures. If temperatures were really rising, what might the world look like? Well, in places all over the world, it is evident from the fossil record that the climate was much warmer and milder in very ancient times. It led to increased flora and fauna, longer growing seasons. There were benefits from that warmth. Carbon is essential to living organisms. In fact, CO2 is what plants breathe. Plants take in CO2 and produce what? Oxygen. It's all part of the remarkable system that God has created. If the temperature warmed a few degrees, humanity would find ways to deal with it. If it actually was a problem, it would not be an apocalypse, as some have said. Overpopulation is not necessarily the problem people think it is. There was an economist, Robert Malthus, who died in 1834, who gloomily predicted, according to Conservapedia, that the population would completely outstrip the supply of food. That would be disastrous, wouldn't it? My own father was an agronomist and dealt with corn production for many years. He was well familiar with how to grow fields upon fields of corn. The blessing that Malthus could not predict is that humanity has found innovations in growing food that allow for there to be plenty of food for human populations. Climate and population doom and gloom is not new at all. It is hundreds of years old, even thousands of years old. I have many corn data notebooks that Dad used to keep. They were put out by Funks G Hybrids, a company that my father worked for many years. Here is the advertisement in the notebook from 1958. Plant America's greatest hybrids, consistently good year after year. Funks touted balanced five-star performance, rapid growth, disease resistance, insect resistance, drought resistance, and standability. As the notebook said, Funks G outperforms them all. Buy an extra load of corn for each bushel of Funks you plant. They touted 5 to 15 bushels better over other hybrids per acre, an extra load of corn per 6 to 7 acres. Now, this was back in 1958. Things, well, we've improved processes and our production even today. God gave humanity great ingenuity, and so when a Robert Malthus predicts doom, there are others innovating, solving the very real problems of providing food and necessities of life. And of course, God provides. Life looks different under God. The world Jesus commends us to is a kinder, more orderly world. We have folks that appeal to the base desires and lowest common denominator of our humanity. The godly life is incredibly different. Living in freedom under God, according to Christ's ways, looks very different from the cruel and imperious ways humanity is so capable of. In an article by M.B. Matthews called The Lost Generations, he writes, "There is a plaque in Auschwitz with a quote from Adolf Hitler. It reads in part, 'I freed Germany from the stupid and degrading fallacies of conscience, morality. We will train young people before whom the whole world will tremble. I want young people capable of violence, imperious, relentless, cruel.'" That's what he said. Think about that for a moment. What would that world look like? We saw it in the times leading up to World War II. Matthews reflects on the current generations being raised in our own nation and the kinds of things that their peers and social media are producing, especially when young people have no mooring, no anchoring. Matthews points out that some of these young people are attending rallies and demonstrations, and they post that they are willing to loot, steal, attack, defame, kill, and burn it all down. Sounds a lot like that plaque. My experience with young people over the years has been very different. They come from families where there is love and care, and their lives are ordered by faith. Those who are violent, relentless, and cruel are being trained in godlessness. Where does this come from? It really comes from the old evil foe, the age-old hater of mankind. Jesus has waded into this darkness to show us God's way, to show us that God is real, that God loves us, and that God will restore us from sin and death through Christ's saving act on the cross on our behalf. His Sermon on the Mount commends us to a different way of life. In verse 1 of chapter 6, he tells us to be humble as we practice our righteousness. It is not necessary or good to keep up appearances by sounding a trumpet when we do things so that we can impress people. God wants us to give and to do good in secret. God doesn't want us to pray long, loud, and showy prayers. Instead, Jesus gives us a different prayer that covers all our needs. We call it the Lord's Prayer. It's good to pray this prayer, including with others, because God has given it to us, and it covers every need. We don't have to be flashy. We pray in the prayer that we would keep God's name holy, that God's kingdom will come to us so that life happens here as it happens in heaven. As my wife witnessed an accident the other day, such things are a jarring reminder that we live in a fallen world. We pray that God will protect us from this fallenness. We pray that God will give us our daily bread, This sustenance doesn't have to be a glorious feast. It just needs to get us through the day. It just needs to be enough. We pray that God would forgive our sins. It often translates as debts or trespasses. We owe debts to God which we cannot repay. He forgives us with overflowing forgiveness and generosity on account of His Son Jesus. Trespasses is a word which can denote stepping across the property line by a few inches or going all the way on the farm, going in the empty house while the owner is away, eating his chicken dinner from the refrigerator. And of course, this covers the more egregious trespasses even than that. Trespasses can be big or small. Us stepping on our neighbor's toes or much greater trespasses and grievances that have been the source of years of grievance. The prayer closes, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." God would not tempt us, but we pray that He would protect us from it and that He would deliver us from harm and danger. As we learn in verse 14, if we expect God's forgiveness, we must forgive the trespasses of others. I'm reminded of Jesus saying here, Luke chapter 6, verse 38, "As for the measure you use, it shall be measured to you." Even though my wording is slightly different. And go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Matthew chapter 9, verse 13. When you fast, Jesus commends you to fast in secret. It is not about being seen by others. And some of my favorite passages round out the rest of chapter 6. Jesus tells us not to lay up treasures for ourselves in earth, but in heaven. I had a friend once who actually seemed to believe that we were building up literal treasure in heaven when we were doing good works. But what is treasure to you? Does the person that has a roof over his or her head, has health, enough to eat, and lives in a garden of beauty need silver and gold? Does the person who has a deep and meaningful relationship with God have the same cares in life as those who do not? Think of Adam and Eve. Did they need silver and gold? Did they have love and satisfaction and a meaningful relationship with God in the Garden of Eden? Would silver and gold have enhanced that? I don't think so. Money is a tool, a device in this world. You can't eat it, nor do you enjoy it in any other way unless you derive great enjoyment from spending it. But the joy isn't really in the money itself, is it? That was the point of the old Greek myth of King Midas, who could turn everything he touched to gold. In the end, he turns even the people he loves into gold. And so life was replaced by money. Jesus commends us to bring good things into our eyes so that our body is full of light. There is no TV in Jesus' day, but what do we watch? What do we look at on the internet? Is it bringing light into us or darkness? Jesus says that no one can serve two masters. He will love one and hate the other. And so Jesus says, you cannot serve God and money. What if a person gave up God for money? They would die, only to spend eternity in hell. Jesus wants us to keep our eyes on God, to not worry about the money. He will provide. How often do people borrow large sums to finance big projects, big homes, nice cars, etc.? Does that bring anxiety? Is there fear of being able to pay the bills? Are you able to help others still with their needs? Jesus says that the birds don't plant gardens or gather the crops into barns, and yet they are fed and provided for. Jesus reminds us that we are far more valuable than they are. And when we look to God, He takes care of our needs in this life. Whether He gives us sustenance at just the right time or someone shows up in our lives to help us with a need. Jesus says in verse 27, "And which of you by being anxious can add a single hour to his span of life?" Jesus speaks of the lilies of the field which are gloriously arrayed. We are far more valuable than they are, and we should have faith that God will care for us. Jesus says that the Gentiles seek after what they shall eat or drink or wear, but God knows we need all these things and He provides. Therefore, we should seek God's kingdom and His righteousness first and foremost, keeping our eyes on Christ in whom God's kingdom comes. And the chapter ends, "Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Do you live with a high level of anxiety in your life? Jesus reminds us that God will take care of our needs. We may make plans for what is to come, but we need not be anxious because God does provide. He says, "Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." When I am struggling, I remember these words. Anxiety cannot add days to our lives. Think of the things that we constantly worry ourselves with. Are they important? Do they really have the significance that we accord them? What if we were to leave this world right now? Have you ever had a dream where you were incredibly worried about accomplishing some task and yet you were being bogged down? You couldn't accomplish it no matter how hard you tried. What happened when you woke up? It was all gone, wasn't it? If it was bad, the slate was wiped clean. The fear and worry of it were completely wiped away. What if it was good? Well, you couldn't go back to it and retrieve it, could you? Will we be able to take the things of this world with us? Not a one. When we go to be with God, all the things of this world will pass from us. Yet, we have the glorious promise that in Jesus Christ we will have eternal life. This life is a bit of an illusion because we know that what to come is real and that it is eternal. In Christ, we know that we will have real joy, that this deep and meaningful relationship which has evaded us in this life will be full and complete in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so too, we will also be reunited with those we have loved in this life in Jesus. Real treasure is to be found in this deep and complete relationship with God, and it comes through His Son, Jesus Christ. Keep your eyes on Him. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord Jesus Christ, You have given us a marvelous life, and yet we long for the time of Your kingdom where we will be with You, and we know that because of You, the best is yet to come. Help us ever to run this race of life and finish, that we may know the fuller life You have in store for us. Amen. We continue with additional prayers. Lord Heavenly Father, we pray for the young people of our nation and the world and for the generations to come, that they may not be lost, but that they may grow up knowing Jesus and the life that is to be had in Him. Lead us, Lord, all into better times, and let Your kingdom come to us as well. We pray this in the name of Your Son, who lives and reigns with You and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Now we pray the prayer our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen. A special verse for this day comes from our gospel reading, which was from Luke chapter 10, where Jesus says in verses 41 and 42, "But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her.'" All of our readings, all of our scriptures come from the English Standard Version of Scripture. Today, I'm going to share with you a special song that I wrote a number of years ago. It is called "Not Even Kings." It is based on the words that Jesus speaks at the end of Matthew chapter 6, where He talks about not being anxious about tomorrow. I released this back in 2015. Thank you.
concerned for your life. Do not fear for your next meal. Do not worry what you wear. Life is surely more than meals. Do you realize? Do you realize? The birds you see, they have no shed. The birds you see, they have no barn. The birds you see don't sow their food. The birds you see don't harvest the fields. You are worth far more. You are worth far more. Have you worried through the night? Do you worry through the daylight? Just how many hours more have you added to your life? Have you added more? Have you added more?
Rest your cares on the Lord.